You can tell we're getting near the middle of Lent when we start getting the long gospel readings from the Gospel of John. But I want to talk about our first reading today. In our first reading, the people of Israel have recently left Egypt. The Lord led them out of Egypt with mighty deeds. They crossed the Red Sea a couple weeks ago, and now they're making their way across the desert. And they're out of water, and there's no more water around. And so they're worried and they're angry. And it's not unreasonable for them to be worried either. You know, this is the Middle East. This is the heat of the desert. And they've been walking for some time with no water. And they're afraid and they're angry because it seems that their needs are not going to be met. And they're very worried. And so they grumble to Moses, as we heard. Why did you ever make us leave Egypt? Was it just to have us die here of thirst with our children and our livestock? So there's a lot of anger, and under that anger, there's a lot of fear. A lot of anger and a lot of fear. And that sounds rather familiar for us right now, doesn't it? Obviously, with the coronavirus, we're in a new situation. So much that we don't know, so much that we've never experienced before. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's some real danger. Perhaps there's some anger at the way things have been handled. And under that anger, there's a lot of fear. And some of that fear can be relieved by, you know, getting good information about what's really going on rather than sensationalized accounts. You know, most of the people that get the disease recover in less than 2 weeks. But at the end of the day, there's still a lot of uncertainty. And there's still some danger. You know, one thing I've noticed as I've followed the news and read the articles and so on, almost every article repeats the basics of what you should do. You know, wash your hands, don't touch your face, keep your distance from people because you can infect people even if you don't have symptoms, etc., etc. They keep repeating the basics. And that's all true and good at helping us to know what to do on a natural level. But there's more to this than just the natural level, the science and the biology of it. There's also what this situation does to our spirits. There's a lot of people out there who are really in the grip of fear over this. And maybe that's you, maybe it's not. But I know I've had to work through some fear about this, even though in my age bracket, I don't really even need to worry all that much. But still, fear tries to take over. And so in a time like this, I think it's important also to remember the spiritual basics, some of the basic truths of the faith. And one of those basic truths is the providence of God. All things are within God's knowledge, and all things are within his power. As St. Paul tells us in Romans 8, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God. Or as we sang when we were just little kids, he's got the whole world in his hands. It's still true. This is something that we know by faith. Of course, in times of trouble, it can be hard to believe this. It takes great faith to maintain belief in that. But because we know it by faith, it is certain. And we can take great hope from that. Because of providence, we're not in uncharted territory, off the edge of the map, no idea what's going to happen. There is a lot of uncertainty for us, but we do have the fundamental certainty that God is working through this. God still has his plan. This virus hasn't caught him by surprise. You know, we're canceling things right and left and all of that, but this isn't making God cancel his plans. As Bishop Cousins would say, Jesus Christ is still on the throne and he is not worried. God makes all things work together for good. Really? All things? Even evil things like this virus? Even evil things like sins? All things. That's another basic truth of the faith, that God does not cause evil, but he does sometimes allow it to exist. And our faith tells us that God only allows evil to exist in order to bring about some greater good. Now, normally, we can't see what that greater good is yet. That's something we'll be able to see from the perspective of eternity. Sometimes we can see glimpses of it, but oftentimes we can't see that yet. But we have faith that God's providence is bigger than evil, more powerful than evil. Evil always tries to wreck God's plans, but it does not succeed. In the end, evil is powerless to escape being transformed into simply a means, a stepping stone towards some greater good that God is preparing. We can see this in the example of the martyrs, the great martyrs of throughout the history of the church. The devil worked great evil, inspiring their torture and death. But in the end, the only thing he accomplished was their sanctification, their glory, the power of their intercession for the church throughout the centuries. Sometimes we can look back on our own life, on the sins that we used to struggle with, and we might ask, well, why did God allow us to commit such sins, such evils? But at the same time, we can often look back and see that because of those sins that we fell into, we repented and we were driven to God more for help, driven more to prayer because of our need. And we prayed more, and in the end, our friendship with God deepened as a result of those sins. We can even look at the greatest evil of all, the crucifixion. And yet, God made that into the greatest moment in history, the source of life and salvation for all who believe. God's plans are bigger than evil, and they're bigger than this virus. His plans might be hard for us, but he still has a plan. And another basic truth for us to remember is that in our trials and sufferings, we can grow closer to God. Difficulties can make us rely on him more completely. Now, a situation of difficulty can be a blessing in disguise because it makes us, it reveals to us what we're trusting in more than God. Now, in this whole situation, God is still the same. And yet, we weren't afraid a while ago, and now suddenly we are. Well, God hasn't changed. What is it that we've been putting our trust in rather than God? It can make us think. When we're deprived of other earthly support, it's an opportunity to trust more deeply in God. And so earthly difficulties like the ones that we're experiencing now or that we fear we might experience, they can be beneficial to our souls if we respond with faith instead of fear or anger. And this is even true of suffering. Now, when I was little, when I was sick or something else was wrong, my parents would often say, offer it up. We hear that sometimes from Catholics, offer it up. And what does that mean? What that means is that because of the cross of Christ, our suffering is not meaningless. There is a deep connection between the suffering of Christ and our sufferings that he established on the cross. And that can be a place of special and deep union between us and Christ on the cross. And through that connection, our suffering is united to Christ's suffering. And because of that, our suffering can have a small part in the redemption of the world. It can obtain grace for others. So we trust in the providence of God. I'm recalling this beautiful meditation by John Henry Newman, St. John Henry Newman, which maybe you've run across before. But he has this meditation on hope in God the Creator. You can find it on Google. And it's a longer passage, but let's read this part. He says, God has not created me for naught. Therefore, I will trust him. Whatever, wherever I am, I can never be thrown away. If I am in sickness, my sickness may serve him. in perplexity, my perplexity may serve him. If I am in sorrow, my sorrow may serve him. My sickness or perplexity or sorrow may well be necessary causes of some great end which is far beyond us. He does nothing in vain. He may prolong my life, he may shorten it. He knows what he is about. He may take away my friends, make me desolate, throw me among strangers, make my spirit sink, hide the future from me. Still, he knows what he is about. We can ask to have that kind of faith and the peace that comes from that. One final truth of the faith that we should cling to in these times is that God will provide for us. God will provide for me when I ask him. God is faithful. He does not forget us. As Jesus said, are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? Yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's knowing. Even the hairs of your head are counted. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. The Lord will provide for us. This is something that we can grow in confidence in throughout our life as we see how the Lord has provided for us so often and so consistently in the past. We can also gain confidence from the example of the scriptures. Back in our first reading, the people of Israel were thirsting in the desert. They were afraid. And yet, if you read back a little bit before our reading in Exodus, they'd run out of water already before this, a different time. And the Lord had provided water for them with a miracle. And the people saw that. And he'd led them out of Egypt with great deeds and miracles. And then the Lord had given them the manna in the desert. So when they were thirsty again, in our reading, instead of doubting, they could have had confidence that the Lord would provide for them again. Now they didn't. And so the Lord showed his care for them once again and made water flow from the rock for his people. And the Lord shows us his providence and care for us over and over again throughout our life too. Let's take confidence from that. The Lord has not abandoned us. So, all this fear, what do we have to fear? Uncertainty? The Lord has a plan. We don't know it, but he does, and that is certain. What do we have to fear? Inconvenience, losing money with the volatile market, disruptions of our plans and our routines, difficulties. These trials can bring us closer to God if we trust in him. What about suffering? Yes, we do naturally fear suffering, but through our suffering, we can come into deep union with Christ, which is, after all, the goal of our whole life here. What do we have to fear? Maybe death itself. But we know that Christ has overcome death and made it only the gateway to eternal life. Our home, our citizenship, St. Paul tells us, is in heaven. We're only wandering here in this world for a short time beforehand. That's the main event. Because of the resurrection of Christ and his salvation, we do not need to fear death. That's why St. Paul says, whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Well, brothers and sisters, in these times of uncertainty and fear, it's important to remember these certainties of the faith, these basics. And it's important to meditate on the scriptures. And for your meditation this week, I might suggest Romans chapter 8, especially Romans chapter 8, verses 38 to 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor principalities, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's cling to that.